I'm Rachel, the creative director for Ram Dass's Love Serve Remember Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to our Inner Academy, a virtual Dharma hall where our family of wisdom teachers will help you navigate your daily life by bringing ancient wisdom into a modern context. With over 200 hours of audio and video teachings, meditations, and practices from teachers like Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Joseph Goldstein, and many more, the Inner Academy is your core resource for finding balance, presence, and navigating the ups and downs of your daily life. The Inner Academy has guidance for every step of your journey. Choose from an annual or monthly membership and gain access to past and future courses, retreat replays, virtual community, and much more. If you've been familiar with Love Serve Remember Foundation for a while, you'll know that most of our offerings are given freely or on a sliding scale basis. So when you subscribe to the Inner Academy, you're paying it forward and bolstering our ability to continue creating accessible offerings for all in the future, as Ram Dass wished for us to do. Be here now and start your journey with Ram Dass's Inner Academy today. For more, visit ramdass.org/innerAcademy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, it's Raghu back with Mind Rolling and a wonderful artist that's part of our fantastic Soulland Music series, Mikey Poker. Welcome, Mikey.
Thank you so much for having me, Raghu. How are you doing today?
We're doing good. We're doing good because we have my old sidekick here as well, Shiva Baum. Welcome, Shiva.
Wow, what a beautiful full circle here. Thank you for having me, Raghu. Mikey, great to see you.
So for those of you, I mean, many of you may know Shiva by virtue of his association with Bhakti Fest for many, many, many years and in the satsang in the LA area. And but I guess a lot of you do not know that Shiva worked with me when I had the Triloka label many, many years ago till about the mid-2000s. And basically did a bunch of A&R stuff and promotion and turned me on to Mikey. So there you go. We're just doing the same thing, Shiva, like many years later, right?
It's true. We worked very, very closely together for so many years on so many extraordinary projects. And you are one of the greatest mentors in my life, Raghu, and taught me so much, continue to teach me. And so much of the wisdom that I'm able to share with artists like Mikey, you are deeply responsible and connected to that still to this day. So thank you.
I'm such a great teacher. I couldn't teach you how to get original sound on Zoom. I mean, look.
Well, I think I might have it on already.
We can't
win them all, as the saying goes.
Yeah. So, Mikey, can you just give us a little bit, because I always like to share with the listeners a bit of, you know, where you come from and what dawned on you that Mikey is a singer-songwriter that covers a lot of different territory. But one central thing, of course, and which endeared us for him being part of the Ram Dass Soulland series, because that's what it's all about, which is really music that has a connectivity to consciousness and to conscious living and to a balance and on the spiritual path, as well as just music. It's entertaining. It's something that takes us out of our doldrums, of which we got quite a pit of that these days. Boy. So where you come from and how did you get the idea there was something else aside from this craziness in one's mind?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thanks for having me here, Raghu. I've become an avid listener of Mind Rolling, and also the Ram Dass podcast. The one that I just listened to last week, in addition to that one, which was talked about the Roe versus Wade. So conversation.
I just find it
so trippy how like you find these Ram Dass teachings that like relate to years ago that now have to do with now. Yeah. And how it just works together so magically. So I just want to say this is an honor to be here. I'm really excited. Thanks for having me. I come originally from a town called Laguna Niguel. And I'm podcasting right now from the room that I grew up in.
No.
So this is literally where I come from. Thankfully, the home is still here. So we can talk about that later. But it's been a trippy thing. I'm from this town, Orange County, Southern California. It's about a couple miles inland of Laguna Beach, where as a child, grew up surfing, had a pretty secular lifestyle living out here. I grew up in a Jewish family. Parents are both Jewish. Went to a Reform synagogue, but was never really I wouldn't classify myself as religious in any way or from a family that kind of focuses on spirituality as a forte. It was kind of something we did. We would do Hanukkah and we would do Passover every year, but it was nothing that was very deep. It was just felt very surface level. I grew up out here, and down the line on my path, I had some spiritual awakening moments that, allowed me to, gave me voice to some of the mystery that we talk about in our lives. And, down the path, I just started, creating these songs, writing these songs and traveling around and doing my thing. And, I guess I made a liking out of the Jewish community world. I had worked at a Jewish summer camp one summer up in Santa Rosa, California, and that had this enlightening moment there that kind of sent me on my path that I've been on for the past 20 years. Yeah. And basically what I'm up to these days and what I have been up to is I'm an artist that, I write music that's based on a few things. My spiritual journey, which is life in itself. And in addition, it has been, my connection with Judaism and the texts of the Jewish people. Specifically the Torah and Hasidic text. And I take these songs, these tropes that are universal in its nature, and I apply them to songs that, anyone could sing. And so that's what I'm out here to do. I'm here to connect people to God. And my ministry is through music and through dance. That's what I'm up to these days. Mm.
At this point in any kind of conversation that I have with a musician, it serves to actually play a song, and I'm going to have Shiva is going to pick the first song. This is like a radio show. It is a radio show.
It is a radio show. Yeah. How are you pretending it's not?
I don't know. It's a podcast.
It's modern radio.
Yeah. So would you, what song should we play to get people acquainted with Mikey's work?
Well, I would highly recommend that we hear the song that introduced Mikey to a lot of people, because not only the song itself is so affecting and heart-opening and resonating, he and his collaborative team in video and the director and everyone that was enrolled in the mission translated it quite accurately in video. And it took off, particularly on Facebook, and was seen over a million times via the Facebook sharing. And it's also available on YouTube, but it really got traction on Facebook because of how deeply heartfelt and heart-opening it is. So the song called Rise, and I would invite us to listen to it now and really learn more about Mikey through this portal of song.
Great, great. Here it is, Rise.
Thank you. Compassionate eyes can rip your soul from your seats. Those people lie down with no water to drink. This is a crazy taste of reality, and all love dies. All love breathes. All love dies. All love breathes.
There was a lot up there. I didn't get it. I short lived my own life.
We gotta rise up, oh. We gotta stand up tall. Don't let this world lock you out of your soul. We gotta rise up, oh. We gotta stand up tall. Don't let this world lock you out of your soul. Hey. A million blessings disguised in daylight. The darkness in the world is real. Have right action, stand on your feet. No matter what path we choose, keep on circling the fracture or moon. I want people stand up and unite. Everything is sacred, everyone is sacred. We gotta rise up, oh. We gotta stand up tall. Don't let this world lock you out of your soul. We gotta rise up, oh. We gotta stand up tall. Don't let this world lock you out. When we look inside and we see this ember, we know this light inside is our love. When we look inside and we see this ember, we know this light inside is some child. We're imitating stars that move across the shimmer. We know this light inside is our love. When we look inside and polish the mirror, we know this light inside is our love. When we look inside and we see this ember, we know this light inside is our love. When we look inside and we see this ember, we know this light inside is some child. We're imitating stars that move across the shimmer. We know this light inside is our love. When we look inside and polish the mirror, we know this light inside, yeah. We gotta rise up, oh. We gotta stand up tall. Don't let this world lock you out of your soul. We gotta rise up, oh. We gotta stand up tall. Don't let this world lock you out. Gotta rise up, oh. We gotta stand up tall. Don't let this world lock you out of your soul. We gotta rise up, oh. We gotta stand up tall. Don't let this world lock you out. Don't let this world lock you out.
I'm glad you guys are out here with this. I am.
Of your heart.
Well, I was definitely affected, Mikey, when I first actually saw. Right. I saw the video. I didn't hear. I think, Shiva, that's what you got me, where you got me going in. And, you know, it was true to all the values and the legacy of where we come from in India, and which, of course, most people are familiar with Ram Dass and Krishna Dass. You know, just the humanness of being kind to somebody. You really displayed that. I mean, in the most, that's the most simple, direct words that I can use to call people's attention to it. And I, you know, we need a hell of a lot more of this. But how did it come to you?
Well, the song actually came from a coaching session. So she and I have been working together for, what has it been now, like 6 years or something? Been a pretty long time. So Shiva and I, when I say work together, it's like I call him, we have a session, and I think the first hour I basically complain.
I take the advice that Raghu gave me all those years ago, and I just repeat it to you in my own voice. And that's really what it goes down. And songs get written and recorded and expressed. So yeah, keep going.
But that's essentially what I do. I get on this call with you and like, you know, I talk about my life and as a human being, you know, woe is me. You know, it's a way that for me, how I, you know, transform and learn from just putting everything on the table. And then you listen, and then it's like Shiva becomes like a conduit. That's my experience. Like Shiva, he says things that it could be Shiva. It could also be, you know, God speaking through Shiva, right? We're talking about mediumship here. So, and he had this thing that came through. He said, you know, we can't let people get locked out of their heart. We can't let people get locked out of their heart. Like, we need to rise up. Shiva said this. And I just started writing. This is kind of how, like, a lot of what I, and no one, people don't really talk about this very much. You know, I do talk about a lot of my songs are based on scripture, and Shiva has been a major collaborator in my music, even with this song. And it's been messages that have come through him. And it's very special. You know, it's a very special thing to work with somebody who you deeply trust. And then when they speak through you, I'm able to take what he took and then create a song kind of based on that, but based on my own personal journey. And for me, you know, I'm no stranger to feelings of grief and suffering. It's not like I had a hard, you know, I was growing up comparatively to other people, but as a human being, I had, you know, I was diagnosed as a young child with depression, and I had anxiety issues. And I think that, you know, I speak to, there's a lot of musicians out there where, you know, we talk about that music is, it's like a lot of us have dealt with these emotions and we still continue to do so. So it doesn't make me different than other individuals. But I know that if it wasn't for the struggle, if it wasn't for the anxiety, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And so music has been a language to help create meaning and to, for myself, and I know others as well. And that's what this song is talking about. It's talking about rising up, speaking of the vulnerability, because when we do these things, we're able to de-armor and de-escalate. When I put on the table that I'm struggling and I'm in a dark place, right, in the video, I'm in a dark place and I'm afraid you're going to judge me if you know how I feel. When another person sees that sign on the street, I guarantee you, Raghu, and I guarantee you, Shiva, right? Everyone listening, that you probably felt that way, but you felt too afraid to share that vulnerability. But when you read someone else, you don't feel so alone anymore. You don't feel this isolation that I'm guessing most of us feel. And when we're able to speak clearly in a safe way, in a safe container with individuals or just on the street and hold up a sign, that creates a lot of freedom of expression. And it goes to show in a radical way that we're all mirrors. We're all souls on this journey who experience pain. We can experience suffering and the joy and all the other emotions. But if we don't speak about these things, you know, then, you know, we're going to, it's just going to build up in us. And that's where resentment, that's where anger, that's where I actually believe disease comes from, when we're not openly expressing these emotions that are here to obviously, I think, teach us and guide us towards our highest alignment.
Yeah, absolutely. Shiva, what, you know, we're talking about, as you started talking a little bit about the actual video, Mikey, it reminded me of watching it. And But Shiva, could you just describe a little bit about what went on in the video that Mikey's talking about?
Yeah. Again, it's rare that I see a video of any music that is such a accurate translation of what the song actually represents. And this video to me is a extraordinary example of where the note gets hit, the emotional chord, you know, and it's very, very moving just to talk about it right now and reflect on it. So the video, Mikey, the artist, he really cracks his heart open on the track. And as I don't know if it was Ernest Hemingway or, you know, a bunch of writers talk about, you know, the best writing is you crack your heart open, bleed all over the page. And he did this in the song and with his voice and with the lyrics. And so the video is him going down to the streets of Oakland, I believe, in the early morning hours. And he's clearly scared. And it turns out he reveals when he shared the video on Facebook, like that Mikey in real life almost didn't even show up to his own video shoot. He was this close to backing out. That's how terrified he was to go through with this. And what the concept is, it turns out there's a, Mikey could perhaps talk more about it in a moment, a thing called a vulnerable rally, where a group of courageous, what I've described as yogis, okay, really just bringing their courage onto the streets and writing down on cardboard signs of revealing some of the things that, you know, Ram Dass would talk about this a lot. I heard him in, you know, the things that if you knew this about me, I believe you wouldn't love me anymore. So I'm terrified. You can know anything else about me but this. And so it's a group getting together and sharing and expressing some of these deepest fears and courageously breaking through together and then creating that force field of courage and love and strength and compassion for our human predicament. There's a healing that happens. Yeah. And so the video is a documentary about that put to Mikey's song, Rise, which is about that. So that's the context.
Yeah. You'll get it right away, everybody. We'll have a link up in the show notes so you can immediately watch that, because it is really special. And it's what turned me on, that video, not just the song, but just
can I ask you a question, Raghu?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this is edgy for you in this moment, but I like edges. If you were to hold a sign up right now, maybe if you want, you know, if you could hold up a sign right now and share something that maybe you don't share with your listeners today, and expressing vulnerability, is there anything that like you might want to share in this moment that could
kind
of bridge with some of your listeners they might not have that experience with you in other circumstances, but it might be something that could be helpful right now.
Okay, what has come to me is almost a non sequitur. It doesn't really respond to you, to what sign I would hold up in the context of the song Rise. But I'm going to tell it to you anyhow, because what can I do? My sign, which would be sort of not quite how I would speak to it, and I'm not sure how I would speak to it, but I'm going to use somebody else, how they spoke to what this is, which is this deep, deep sadness over what happened yesterday with this school massacre. And I didn't know about it, and I watched the Warriors, Golden State Warriors, because I love basketball, and I love them, and I love them for their values. As most especially the coach, Steve Kerr, but players as well. He speaks out all the time. And then after the game, I just, you know, there was a press. I thought, oh, that's the press conference for the post-game thing, which they lost. But no, it was him getting on before. You must see this. I mean, on YouTube. Steve Kerr talk. I mean, it's all over the news. And basically railing out at the Senate for not passing a simple law that would check people before they were able to purchase automatic rifles, guns, whatever. I don't know the details of what the thing is, but he was banging on the table. How do we let this go on? How do we? And I felt that same pain. I mean, he really expressed it. So, yeah, that's the thing that came to me in the moment, you know. And that harks to, of course, Ram Dass and the way that he took social action, the way that he first took inner social action so that he could straighten himself out before he could even make any kind of public gesture. Because if it had anger in it, it just, he knew it would not have any beneficial results whatsoever. Now, Steve Kerr, he did have anger. It was a righteous anger. It wasn't a hateful anger. So the anger's okay. It's what perspective you're coming from, you know? Is there a meanness? Is there something you're dumping all the other bullshit in your life about this particular thing and it becomes toxic? Or is it just, you know, a natural outrage for something that, like this, which is so beyond any belief? Anyhow, so that's a real left-hand diversion.
It's so interesting that we're taping this episode today, a day after this horrific tragedy in Texas. And the day after, to me, it's almost more affecting than the day of. I think, you know, many of us, definitely myself, less numb today and can more receive the news and seeing pictures of the children and the courage of, you know, and a teacher who lost their lives yesterday and the first responders and about them and just about the situation. And then rewatching Steve Kerr's extraordinary example of courage and leadership. And it's so inspiring. And I have a lump in my throat right now just picturing it and hearing his voice. And it really is about how this song got written, which was out of a conversation I had about with Mikey about there are things in the world that are so horrific and so heartbreaking that if you let them, they will lock you out of your heart. And our job as artists, as leaders and working with higher consciousness and promoting higher consciousness, our job is not to let these moments, these situations, these tragedies, this pain lock us out of our own heart to the point where we're immobilized. And so what I witnessed is Steve Kerr, you know, he's got to give a press conference as part of his job. They got to play a basketball game, an important one at that, as part of his job. And 400 miles away, you know, 18 children and, you know, a teacher or more. I mean, who knows what the actual body count is now at this point? Yeah. Okay. Two teachers and children in addition are, you know, slaughtered. And he's like, you want to talk to me about basketball?
Yeah.
No. You know, so I felt like it elevated everybody's heart and courage. And interestingly enough, that speaks to the soul of what this song is. And so I think it's really, we can't overlook that we're talking about this today, fresh in the moment of this.
Yeah.
And Raghu and Shiva, I really appreciate you brought that moment up. I mean, I watched his speech yesterday and I thought it was riveting because you don't see coaches have these kinds of conversations. And the way that he actually ended the press conference, he like got up and just like left. He was just, we got to do something. And I agree. I think that, you know, I appreciate you bringing this up. It's not just gun reform. We're talking about a horrible health crisis in the United States based on this isolation from, you know, we're still dealing with the pandemic. It's been over a couple of years. And in addition, what's happening without gun reform, we have these senators that aren't doing anything, right? So there is this anger, but I feel like from the anger, we can make a difference. And I'm really hoping that we can actually make a difference. And I don't know
here's what he said. Just I knew there was a point about exactly what he said that I have to include here. He implored everyone listening, don't be numb to this. Don't look away from this. Don't check out from this. Deal with this. Feel this suffering and do something about it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to move another sideways. And that's around, I think, you know, you talked about your Jewish interest. That's not the right word. You've gravitated towards the mystical part of Judaism in my take of what you've been doing in a very, very definitively focused way. It's not something, I mean, I come from a Jewish background as well, but that has never happened. Although, you know, I've appreciated some of the mystical aspects of Judaism and, you know, gone through it a little bit. And then, but you're also interested in Hinduism and particularly maybe even Hanuman. Is that right?
Yeah, I've definitely been picking that up a bit. I mean, I was even thinking about that recently. Like, what am I becoming?
Yeah. You know? Well, but that's what I thought. Then add on a little of Rastafari. And you got those three. That's kind of a, you know, is there a mixture of you that way? Certainly in influences.
I mean, in ways, yes. I mean, you know, I am an avid, I'm a deep student of Bob Marley, and specifically, you know, I've studied elements of Rastafari, but I wouldn't say that I claim to be one. I mean, look, if I were to smoke a joint and take one hit, I would be completely high for like a day. So I don't I could hang with that, but I'm just a sensitive guy. What can I say? But you know, when I sing a lot about Jah, you hear it in my lyrics, you know.
Yeah, that's why I said this. This is, right. You know, well,
the real word Jah comes from the word of, like, in Hebrew, right? So if you don't know the language, hallelujah means blessed be, or blessed is, and the word hallelujah, Jah, it's one of the names of God. You know, there's like hundreds and hundreds of names of God. But, you know, I relate to the essence in that way. And that's the relationship and the name that you know, is the connection that I've had the deepest connection with. And, you know, I do listen to reggae music. And so, it's interesting. A lot of my listeners who are Jewish, sometimes I think they hear Jah and they're like, you know, they're so shocked. When in fact, you know, there's many names of Creator and the many manifestations of Creator, even though there's one, which we believe in, but there are many manifestations. And so, you know, I have my like wrestlings and my quarrels, you know, qualms, with, I guess, Jewish theology in a bit. But I also, as of late in the past couple of years of working with Shiva and playing these yoga festivals and getting to know Jah Utal personally and getting to know Krishna Das personally, and playing like the Festival of Colors, you know, which is holy, the holiday, and spending time with all these Krishna devotees all the time, like, and spending time with Gauravani and Vish in Florida, you know, like, I've learned about the practices of people who are, you know, followers of Krishna and people who are followers of Hanuman. And I'm not necessarily, you know, I don't necessarily yet think that these manifestations are separate than God. To me, it's like it's different names of Creator, even though I have people that believe it certain ways. I have personally started noticing from my own spiritual journey, my life, is that I would, for instance, I want to tour Shantala. You love Shantala, right? Benji.
Mm-hmm.
I met Benji at Bhakti Fest. Okay. I met him because the Kirtan rabbi invited me to come and sing at Bhakti Fest.
Kirtan rabbi, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and Johan, a homie of mine, you know, and he's like, Mikey, I want you to come. I led Shabbat at Bhakti Fest. I led a song there. Benji was playing Esraj. I didn't even know what an Esraj was. I was like, what? What's he doing with this violin? It's like upside down. And we connected and it was awesome. And then I got invited to the Chant for Change, the Lincoln Memorial with Gauravani to represent the Jewish faith with the Kirtan Rabbi, with Sweet Honey in the Rock, with Fani Fiala. And I showed up and I did that. And Benji got to know each other. We got to play some more music. And then eventually Benji was like, let's, you know, he said, my parents are Holocaust survivors. I would love to find a way that we can collaborate. What can we do? So I led Shabbat on a Friday night at Bhakti Fest again. Benji came, he played tablas with us, and his wife Heather sat right in the front. And halfway through davening, which is prayer, we're leading Kabbalat Shabbat, we're welcoming in the Sabbath bride. It's this moment where, you know, the Sabbath bride comes to join us every Friday night, which resembles like the deep waters, resembles the expansiveness of this 24-hour period called Shabbat. Heather's in the front. His wife is weeping. She's just having this experience. And, you know, after services at Bhakti Fest, she comes up and she says, you know, Mikey, like, I've never felt this before. And we want to connect. And so we stayed connected. So then a couple years later, we go on the road together. We call this tour the Shalom tour. I think it's called the Shalom tour. Yeah. It was basically like, maybe I got the tour name wrong, but I have to look it up. Regardless, we went on tour.
Shalom. Emphasis on Om.
Shalom. That's right. It was Shalom, right? That's what it was. So we went on tour together and we started in the Bay Area. We went all the way down to like, you know, Flagstaff, Sedona. We did the whole southern part of the Southwest. And then the next year we went up from the Bay Area to, you know, all the way up to the islands in Seattle and played ashrams. I played a Buddhist ashram in Eugene. And then in Portland, we played a Hindu temple, an ashram. And what we did on this tour was we blended their music, which they're Shivites, but they're also devotees of Maharaji. And then we sang my music and we chanted in Hebrew. And it was this like conversation about
That's cool.
Similarities here. And so why am I bringing this up? Well, every time I went on the road and stayed at different people's houses, I would see a picture of, by the way, I got the sticker at the Be Here Now anniversary that you invited me to. I'd see pictures of Maharaji. I would see him everywhere. And I would see him usually on top of a ayahuasca Icaros pattern. So I would see him, and you know, Shiva over the years has been sending me pictures of Maharaji. And I would, you know, to be honest, I'd be like, what am I doing? What is pictures of this guy? You know, but over time it's like things started happening. And you know, now years later, I had an experience with Maharaji. You know, I got in a car accident a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
It was in a head-on car accident. Really? Got hit by a drunk driver. Crossed over. Wild thing that happened. And I was actually listening to the new music that I'm releasing in a month. I'm releasing this new song. I was on the phone with my producer. I got hit by a drunk driver without a license. If I would have went to the right-hand side, I would have went down a gully. But instead, I remember I just took a big breath. I took a big breath out. And then I got hit, crossed over, saw some crazy trippy stuff, woke up to a car that was completely like a pancake. And I broke my pelvis and I broke my right wrist. This was in 2020 on the day before Yom Kippur. I had to lead the next day. I got home from the hospital and I had to lead Yom Kippur. I didn't know my hand was broken because they discharged me early. I led the entire ceremony on Zoom with a broken hand, you know. But before that happened, when I got home from the temple, I got in my bed. I remember lying there and I had this vision and I opened my eyes and out comes one of my rabbis that I never got to meet, Rabbi Zalman Schechter. Out comes Rabbi Zalman Schechter and he comes into the room and he puts his hands on me. I see this. And then 2 minutes later, a man enters my room who's wearing a blanket, a big man, an older man. And he comes into my room and he puts his hands on me. And I just start weeping. So this technically didn't, I mean, okay, first of all, no one broke into my apartment. This came to me in a vision, or maybe not. I don't know. All I know is it was a profound experience. So why did Rabbi Zalman Schechter come to me? And then why did Maharaji come to me? I don't know. But what happened was I called Jai Uttal and I said, this is, and he's like, Mikey, you've been given, this is, you're connected. Like, he doesn't just come to anybody. Like, this is a deep thing, you know? And so then I began listening to your podcast every week. Mm. So I was like, what is this about? Well, I went to yeshiva and I was a Hasidic Jewish person, but now, and I still am religious, but not, I'm like a neo-Hasidic person. However, I'm like every day, it's like, now I have this other on my altar. I have my pictures of Kabbalah. I have my Sophia Rote. I have my Jewish amulets. But next to that, right here, now has a place for Maharaji. So I'm trying to figure it out. I, to be honest, don't really know the answer. But it made sense when I visited Ram Dass's house a year later, why this all happened.
Yeah, that makes sense. Big time sense. That's what happened to all of us.
Did that happen to you?
It was the conduit. Yeah. Stuff. Yeah. Wow, what a story, Mike. That's something else. Wow. I think it's time. Oh, first of all, it's time to say, by the way, this is, we are having our wonderful release of the Soulland Records Volume 2 compilation. And, but Mikey, you're going to be on the next one, right? I got that right. Yeah.
I made
it. This one has Jai Uttal, has actually a song from Ram Dass, has Rising Appalachia, John Forte, DJ Drez, and his partner. Who's his partner, Shiva? Marty Nico and DJ Drez. Thank God for you, Shiva. That's all I got to say. Oh, boy. Well, Shiva, okay. So now that'll be out June 13th or something.
Amazing. Right. That's a stellar lineup. And of course, Drez and Marty, just beautiful couple. Yeah. And, you know, just have turned a lot of people onto Bhakti that, you know, coming in from the dance, you know, sacred dance community. And, but to have it with, you know, Jai and John Forte and Rising Appalachia, just that, what a compilation.
Sorry there. I muted myself because the old garbage truck just went by again. Oh, the bane of my podcast life. Shiva, what about another song? I think we, and you know, something more diverse and that represents. Yeah, yes. We're picking the hits here, Mikey. And you have to just sit there and take it.
Well, I'm definitely, before we wrap, curious about hearing a little bit about Mikey's upcoming song that's going to be released very soon that this audience especially will deeply gravitate toward that. But before we hear about that, we're going to play a song that is actually starting to really catch on now. And it was written in the heart of the pandemic. And it's a powerful story how that song came about. But it's a song that's providing a lot of relief, comfort, helping people get in touch with their own courage and inner resource. And it's deeply moving for me when I hear week after week people discovering this song now. And it's called We Are Safe. And let's hear it right now.
Oh, wonderful. We Are Safe.
We are safe.
Wow, you know, and that is just the title of the song is enough, really. That is something that is a, well, I'm sure this motivated you, Mikey, to write this, but that is very, very, very difficult these days for people who absolutely having a hard time to feel safe. And it's ending up in every different aspect of our society, particularly around younger folks. And if you look around, you know, between the environment and the polarization in the country and of course the war and the pandemic, I mean, there's just, this is extremely set of unbalanced circumstances that you really need to feel safe through. So, you know, kudos on that. Yeah. What was the song though? The new song. What? Tell us about that. Shiva was mentioning.
The new song, Great Spirit. Great Spirit. Yes.
Coming soon. Very, very soon.
Yeah, it's going to be coming out next month. So, going to be announcing all the details on that. But yeah, Great Spirit is a song I wrote around the same time when, you know, the world was collapsing. It's the first time in, I don't know, many, many years where, as you know, the music industry shut down. 2020 had to, you know, the forest fires, and that just basically felt like we were under this pressure cooker. And I wrote this song. It came through talking about the idea that musicians like myself, I'd go on the road for months at a time, and I had the time to reflect about that, you know, months at a time, and we're staying in these hotel rooms, and, you know, we play these like big shows. We get back to the hotel room. It's so hard sometimes to ground down. And, you know, we might have a drink, or might smoke, or we might do whatever, or other people, like for myself, I've never gotten into hard drugs, anything like that. Like, thankfully, I've never gotten a heroin or doing cocaine or anything like that. You know, but, you know, I know that these things can help. They say this to these musicians, that it helps bring them down there from their high, right? So for me, you know, I was, you know, drinking every once in a while, or I was, you know, staying up too late, or there were other things that were going on. But I wrote this song to, you know, ask Great Spirit to open up my heart, that I could feel her, and open up my heart that I can feel her all the time. And it's a mantra that really just talks about that relationship that's really based on reciprocity in itself, you know, not just asking for help, but then how are we also tending to that relationship over time, where we can continue to give back. And I think part of the giving back is giving our gifts, and being vulnerable, and being authentic, and continuing to water the earth, both physically, the earth plane, but also pleasing Creator. And I know that in the Hindu faith, people do that, making offerings. We do that too, Jews. We make offerings to the sacred fire. We make offerings of cedar and sage, and tobacco, like other indigenous cultures. There are ways to feed spirit, but in a way, if without offerings in that way, we can also give back by being authentic and asking for help. And that's really what the song is, song asking for help.
Beautiful.
You know, Raghu, I when I first heard the song, it reminded me of Mikey moving into a deeper layer of his practice and his artistry and what he's interested in, the story he's interested in telling to his audience and connecting with his audience on those conversations. And it was like when Krishnas went into the album Door of Faith, it reminded me of that level of evolution where we finally got to peer into the actual spiritual practice in real time of this artist, you know, and that's like Door of Faith for anyone who hasn't heard that album by Krishnas. It's extraordinary, revealing, and
and completely different. It is not call and response. It is prayers, and it was done with Rick Rubin, one of the great producers of our time, and we will get a link for that one too. We should get a link to
totally.
Like, how about Bob Marley, the first Bob Marley record or something? I mean, when
or that, Forever that Love Game Changer off of Uprising, you know? Yeah, the first one in
right,
the last
there you
anything,
go.
but this I just felt that everyone knows what it's like to be in a moment of spiritual crisis or a crisis of faith, and when all you feel so alone, and the only thing that could be in that moment is you and your spiritual connection, whatever that is. And it's a song that really speaks to that. And to me is another example of reaffirming faith. And it's an anthem that, you know, inspires that. So that's, I thought it was great to bring up here today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that safe place, and we should mention this as well, because it's really what we're about, Love Serve Remember Foundation and Ramdas.org and the Be Here Now Network. It's about getting with each other one way or the other. That is a space that we can feel safe in, because we can see that we all have the very similar issues, and we develop trust with people who are like us on a path of finding out who we truly are, and not being caught in who we think we are. And that is a very powerful experience, especially in terms of feeling safe, I would say. So, yeah, right on. Who are the other musical influencers for you, Mikey?
Well, I did mention Bob Marley, so I want to say that again. Cause
yeah, say it again and again and again. The weird thing with Bob Marley and all the people that were playing, I mean, this is a terrible thing to say, I'm so sorry, but when I first started listening to Bob, I didn't know nothing about reggae. I mean, I knew about it. I heard some stuff, you know. I mean, Jimmy Cliff I loved as well, by the way. But then I started listening to, there was a lot came after Bob. And like there's Bob, and then there's, I mean, aside from Jimmy Cliff, and then there's everybody else. It's a very far out thing, you know. I mean, of course, there's Hendrix and there's everybody else in terms of that. So there is a few people that are like that, but aside from Bob.
So aside from Bob, and there's another Bob, Bob Dylan.
That Bob.
Good Bob for me. Huge influence.
Two Bobs.
So I got the Bobs, but then also, you know, growing up, I grew up in a family. My father is a big fan of, and my mother, a Fleetwood Mac. Mm. So actually my first concert I ever went to was seeing them at the, I think the reunion tour with, when they did Tusk with the USC. Mm. You know, my father also played the Grateful Dead as a kid, and I also saw them. I saw the Dead much later. They were a musical influence, by the way. I actually left the concert. I was so bored. But years later now, I actually really enjoy the Dead. So,
if there's one soul listening to this podcast episode who has not heard Raghu Marcus interview Oteil Burbridge of Dead & Company, the current iteration of the Grateful Dead, please go back. And it's a recent episode. Find it, hear it.
Yeah,
as somebody who loves that music, I could tell you it's a not to be missed episode. So thank you, Raghu, for that service, connecting, you know, Ram Dass and Jerry Garcia and through the great Oteil Burbridge and the work he's doing.
Yeah, that had that great thing. I read Ram Dass's eulogy to Jerry. Yeah, that was phenomenal. But, you know, Oteil is a phenomenal human. So that is always such a delight.
Totally.
Okay, we got the two Bobs, though. I keep going back. Yeah, we're going to keep on that level.
Well, so there's a whole thing, right? When you grow up with a father who's like really into, my father had a great taste, and my mother, in music. Then my youth hit, and I grew up in Southern Orange County here. And the funny thing was, we had a huge hardcore scene.
Oh, really?
Christian hardcore scene, actually. And we would gather at churches. And there was some of my favorite bands, like when I was a kid, called, there's this band called Underoath. They're like a Christian rock band that was screaming about God. They weren't singing, they were screaming. And there was like 400 kids moshing in a mosh pit in a sweaty ass church in Southern Orange County. And I was like rocking out, going to these hardcore shows. And they would stop and they'd be like, we got to invoke Jesus. And as a Jewish kid, I'd be like, what the hell is going on? You know? And I don't know, but I love Christian rock music growing up. I was a huge fan of U2. I mean, they're not technically a Christian rock band, but you know,
who
U2? I think U2 was originally when they started. That's what they did. But I was always attracted to faith-based music. And then hip hop came in college years. When I was at San Francisco State, I got into Hieroglyphics. I got into like Living Legends, and I started listening to like old Biggie and listening to Tupac. And now, like even now, listening to, there's incredible hip hop out there. And I would say that I'm still finding music that's deeply inspiring me. And one of those records I'd say right now that came out this week is Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers by Kendrick Lamar. This new album that Kendrick Lamar just dropped,
really?
I would say, is one of the most profound albums I've ever heard in my life.
Really? He's profound, Kendrick Lamar, for sure.
I don't know if you would agree with that, Shiva, but man,
Definitely. And Rolling Stone is already, not shockingly, but they've identified the song that our colleague, the great Daniel Conscious Krieger, a bhakti yogi tried and true, was part of that production team. And the song he worked on, Rolling Stone predicts it's the song of the year, and they'll be up on the Grammys next year. But Kendrick Lamar is, you know, he was given the Pulitzer Prize, and he really deserves it. So at that level, so yeah,
wow,
a cool play.
That's a great tip. Let's put that in the show notes too.
You definitely,
yeah. I've been doing some, because we have the Soulland compilation coming out, because we just did the music Soulland music series, which Mikey was a part of. I've been working and chatting with musicians the last little bit, which is always so much fun. I just did something with Jai Utah, and we hadn't talked about this stuff in a couple of years, and it was really, really so it's been really fun for me to do that. It's, you know, that's why I also wanted Shiva to be here, because you know, I've been taking a trip back to memory lane in terms of the music business and so on. And the great things that came out of our work, Shiva, over all those years. So this is a delight, Mikey. A delight. I thank you for being here. And again, everybody out there, we're going to have all of the links that you would need. And probably, can we get a link to the new song for when it's coming out? You know, you get notified or something?
Yeah, I'm going to send you a pre-save link, and so you'll be
okay, notified. Perfect.
For sure. Thank you so much.
And that song's called Great Spirit. That's the new song that's coming out.
Great Spirit.
You know,
Spirit.
I should just hire you to be my manager now, you know? He's like my publicist. He's my coach. He's like, I got to say, honestly, Shiva, thanks for being part
all
of this.
All in one. Yeah, that's great.
You could be my, you know, I feel like you could be my speaker for me too. I mean, I might just hire you. You and Raghu to kind of like be the eloquent speakers as I stumble over my words. So
no, so you're much. Pretty good. You're pretty eloquent. And I like the mashup that you are. You know, it's really kind of cool, and the different influences that happen through your music and you as a human, and sharing what you're sharing is important. And it's, you know, in these kinds of this conscious music, but it's still got a hook, so you can be pulled inside it. That to me is always, you know, I'm not a fan of conscious music that is preachy or any of that stuff. And in this case, there's, you know, you got to have that entertainment value of being pulled. It's Krishnadas is the same thing. He's got, you know, Western chord changes and, you know, cool melodies that bring people in, and the medicine goes down a lot easier, as he says, you know. And then there's Jai, who's, when I talk to him, I mean, his musical guru, Ali Akbar Khan, who played this sarod, Indian stringed instruments, was used to be known as the Emperor of Melody. And Jai got that. He absolutely got that. So all of this is just music is the most efficacious way to absorb yourself into the depths of the truth, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm really down. Thanks, Mikey.
Thank you so much, Raghu. It's an honor to be here, and look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, thanks, Shiva.
It's a great joy and an honor. Thank you, Raghu. And of course, thank you, Mikey, for your service to the planet this time. So much love. What a gift.
This, for sure. For sure. For sure. This is Mind Rolling on Be Here Now Network. Go to BeHereNowNetwork.com. And we have a plethora, I like to say, of incredible podcasters. More to come. And we'll see you next week.